will it be okay?
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, I recorded one interview yesterday and it was
okay.
Fine. Okay. So let's start by introducing yourself.
Okay, I'm Joe from Deadlock. I'm the singer. I'm in the band since the early beginning, so since almost 11 or almost 12 years now.
Okay. So let's start with the first question. Going back to the beginning, how did Deadlock came to be?
Well, when we started, like I said, 12 years ago, and we just met in the house of my parents and were thinking about starting a band because we listened to the same kind of music. And then Tobias, Sebastian and me started with Deadlock, and in the early days we did not even know which instruments everyone should play. So Toby started playing the drums, Sebastian learned to play guitar, and yeah, this was the beginning of Deadlock. Then we started with another bass guitar player, and in the early days it was more like a hardcore band. It had nothing to do with metal or this style of music we play now.
Okay, so how do you feel that the band's progressed over the 12 years of your existence?
Yes, our music is always like a mirror of the stuff we want to listen to and we love to hear, and it was always depending on the improvement of every single person on his instrument. So when we started, I guess we would have not been able to play that kind of music, and then over the years we started to listen more and more to metal, and you can hear it on our records. The time of arrival is more like a mixture of Cradle of Filth and Timo Borgia, more like this darker metal stuff. And nowadays we more and more listen to pop bands or to bands with melodic beats and stuff, and also to techno or to drum and bass. And this is what influences us, and this is what Deadlock is now.
Okay, so from your last album, you have some hip-hop parts in it. Is that also...
Yeah, it was a funny thing because those are guys from Munich, and they have read some interviews, and in some of the interviews I said I listen to hip-hop also and I like to listen to rap music, and so they got in touch with us and said, well, if you listen to hip-hop and rap, are you maybe interested in a collaboration or something? And we said, yeah, we could imagine that, but we have to think about a concept. And that's why we've chosen the song Death Race. The Death Race is like we are singing, like we are the truck drivers driving this animal transport thing, and the rap guys are driving just beside this truck and talk to themselves about how stupid this situation is and how they hate these truck drivers that kill the animals. So there's like a concept. Lots of people blame us for mixing metal with hip-hop, but I don't think it's not just provocating, it's also part of the concept, so it has its rights on the CD, and we like to listen to this kind of music, so it's just normal that we...
So what do you think was the reaction from people? Was it positive, negative, or in between, polarized?
Was almost every kind of possible reaction. The one said, well, there is no way to mix hip-hop with metal, you are just idiots, we will never listen to your music again. The other said, unbelievable idea, we love you for doing this and for giving a shit about what other people think and not think in a stupid kind of way. Always, you are allowed to do this and you are allowed to do that, but you are not allowed to use a saxophone or a hip-hop part or whatever. And some of the other guys said, well, we like your music, a great song. We like the hip-hop part, but not on one CD. It's a good hip-hop song and it's a good metal song, but both together are not working on one album.
So from your perspective, do you guys think you're going to use it again for later, or it's still kind of undecided?
We are thinking actually about playing it live in Japan.
Oh.
We are 2 days in Japan and we are thinking about maybe doing it live. Just as a fun thing. Yeah, but I don't think that we will put another hip-hop part on the CD. Maybe the next CD will definitely have more sample stuff and more of this techno beats and drum and bass beats, but I did not think that this hip-hop thing was working so good because it's not possible to play it live. Just we are not the rappers, so it would just be ridiculous live. So we are open to every kind of new beat and new material as long as it's possible to play it live, because want to play this ballad live, which Sabine sings alone, and we don't want to play any stuff. We just have to do playback or something, so we'll definitely only be a mixture of beats and samples for our next time.
Did you ever picture you were going to do that when you just started from now? What would you think that you would say if you were back there and listened to what you did in that album?
I don't think so, but to be honest, we did not think that we will come this far with the band. When we started, it was just a fun thing. We just wanted to hang out together, have fun, maybe play around in our area and just hang out with people, meet new people. We never thought about finding a record deal like with Lifehouse Records, selling records worldwide and play Japan and whatever. So it's amazing so far, and if there is any chance to start something new, we are open to anything. So we will definitely try something new on the next record too.
So how is the label working for you guys? I mean, you mentioned it's good. Do you think that there's any aspect that you would have probably improved or considered switching labels for bigger?
Well, for us, it was the choice to be like one of the number one bands on Lifehouse Records or be just number 99 or 199 on a huge label. So for us, the decision was clear to stay at Lifehouse, and we had so much fun together. He supports our lifestyle. He's also supporting the vegan and straight edge lifestyle, and this is something which is very important for us, and especially for me too. And so it's the perfect mixture. He works professional. He has his own label in America, so for us it's really great, and there is no reason why we should think about changing the label.
Okay. So about the concept of the band, you just mentioned some of it. Can you mention more about it? Because I read that you're an animal activist and you have different influences in your lyrics.
Yeah. So we, like last year, we did a special thing with PETA too for against the seal hunting in Canada. We started a band called the Canadians, where we sang a song, the seal hunt song, Kill Kill Kill, or a Seal Slayer, which is called now. Where we just sang like how funny it is to kill these beautiful animals, and that we don't give a fuck about who is blaming us for this. And so we start a lot of things with PETA too, and we try to help them wherever we can, and we think that our music is a good way to show people what we think goes wrong in the world, and to show them a little bit of our lifestyle and how positive those effects are on us. So for us, it's just the purest way to live, and it's especially, maybe there are some countries where you have a problem with living vegan or something, but in Germany or as a European person, you have absolutely no problem to live vegan. I don't have a problem if somebody says I have to kill these animals to save my life or to save the life of my family, but as long as it's just a thing of comfort or of laziness, I don't understand it. As long as it's like this, we will fight against it.
So does everybody in the band share the same mentality, or is there somebody who's just like...
This vegan thing is very important for us. One thing we changed now is the straight edge thing. Our new bass guitar player is not straight edge, and also Sabine is not straight edge. For her, it was like... She was straight edge in the beginning, but we felt... she would love to drink a glass of wine or something before the show and maybe after the show. And straight edge is very personal. It's not something that belongs to everybody and to the environment. So it's not a problem if anybody drinks or smokes a cigarette for me, as long as I don't have to do it for myself. But this vegan thing is way more important for us, and so all in the band, all band members are vegan.
Okay, and how about the response in the US that you heard so far? What do you think about it?
Up to now it has been really great, and we have lots of reactions on MySpace and on the homepage where they say, well, come over to the US, we badly need you here. But for us it's pretty difficult because everybody in the band has a main job beside the band, and a US tour would mean like four weeks or 5 weeks touring. And this is pretty difficult to realize for us, because it's always like everybody has to take his full holidays for 1 year, and we have to put them on one spot, and this did not work so far, but we are working on it definitely. We want to come to the US at the latest next year.
Okay. So So were you afraid that you were going to be labeled as activist or extreme? Well, not extremist, but in a certain category as a band, knowing that you have those ideals behind the band?
Yeah, I've read a funny review I've seen a funny review on YouTube where a guy was laughing about the lyrics and that it's just like children's words or something that we... Some of the guys, I think, don't get behind it. They just cannot understand what we are talking about. It's not, we are not the ones that go on stage and preach about a better life or something, but it's just we want a fair treatment for everybody, and this is what everybody can expect. There is a new thing PETA 2 started. This animal testing is breaking hearts, and I think this is something everybody should understand. Even a metalhead that says, I don't give a fuck about anything, I eat meat because I like to eat meat, I drink my beer and I get drunk every day, I don't give a fuck about anything. But even those guys have a dog at their house or something, and they love their dog. And just to think about that, some idiots kill dogs every day just for any stupid testing. This is something we want to fight against, and this is something I think everybody should understand. It's not like saying you have to live vegan from now on and everything will be good. No real problem will be solved by veganism, but everybody should do what he can do best and should give his best for this. And an example is stopping animal tests, because nobody needs animal tests nowadays. We are in such a modern world, and there is just no need for this Ice Age treatment of animals.
So do you think that metal was the correct pick to give your message out, or do you think you need to change a little bit your musical direction to reach a broader audience? Or is metalhead, metal people, gothic, audience you want to target?
I think there are two. These are two sides. The one side is the message, and the other side is the music. So we could not play music we don't like just to spread the message. So it's always like we will play some kind of metal, some mixture of metal with pop music, with drum and bass music, with even gothic music, with almost everything. We just mix it up because we like to listen to this style. And there are always people that understand the message. And of course, there are lots of people that say, well, I like the music, but I don't get the message. And this is okay too, because there is the music and there is the message. It's perfect if it works with both sides. But if there is one side okay for the masses, then it's okay too for us.
Okay. So you said about the touring in the US, so you're pretty much something in the works for next year, right?
We had the offer to go on tour with Hammerfall, but there is nothing confirmed yet, and we are just searching for a tour that's possible for us. Maybe something like 3 weeks, where we still have some spots free for another tour or for a smaller tour or something. Because if we do the 5 weeks or something, then really every holiday is taken, and there is no chance to do anything except a Saturday or a Sunday show for us.
Okay, so going back a little bit to the music now, so do you think that, so you're saying that you're not going to change the metal aspect of your music just for the message or for any reason, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because if we would think about this, then we should normally say, well, I stop screaming, I do the management of the band and do the interviews and stuff, and Sabina is just singing pop songs. Then we would reach a bright and wide audience worldwide. But this is just not Deadlock. Deadlock was a mixture of all the important things for us, and this is a huge part of this is the metal basement, and we like the scene, and I personally prefer the metal scene to the hardcore scene, because the hardcore scene is a lot of a style show. Their kids are running around with the Weekend shirts. 2 weeks later they have Massacre shirt, Chop for a Cowboy, and eat their sausages again, and next week they are Earth Crisis Destiny reunion, and they start to be Earth Crisis fans and start to be vegan and hardline vegans, and this is just ridiculous for me. The metalheads say, well, we love the music, we love this style and that style, and maybe there are some guys that are vegan and that are straight edge, but they don't use it as a as a style factor or something. They just use it as a lifestyle, and they have it in their hearts, and they don't go out and say, well, I'm the vegan guy, and look at me, I don't eat meat, and I'm the better one. And this is what I like too, and so...
Okay. So you work for PETA. Did PETA approach you guys, or you approach them? How did that happen?
Well, our drummer has his own wholesale for vegan food, and so they got in touch and said, well, you're playing in Deadlock too, so could you think about a collaboration for some project? And we said, yeah, perfect. This is what you always wanted to do, so...
Okay. So you wouldn't mind being like the poster band for...
No, because it's more... This is something to spread the message, and this is a huge chance to reach people that don't listen to the music, and maybe they grab the music again, and they come in touch with our music and with the band, so it's some kind of promotion for the band, and also promotion for the lifestyle, and so this is perfect for both of us.
So how do you guys see, since you've been 12 years with the band, how do you see that the internet and technology has transformed the way that record deals happen, that people get to know bands, the message, how do you guys see that?
Well, I think it's just amazing. If we look at our MySpace, when we look at the place on MySpace, and well, the messages from all over the world, it's just like, you would not know that there are people in I don't know, Japan, in the most far away corners of the world, and they tell you, well, I just bought your new CD, or I just downloaded from the internet. I'm not the one that has a problem with a guy that downloads it, as long as he has not the money to buy it. Me, for myself, I buy every CD I like, because I want to have the complete package. I want to have the design, I want to have it as an original piece of music. But when there are people in poorer countries which just cannot make it to buy an import CD or something, then it's okay for me that they come in touch with the music, get the message, and have the chance to listen to our stuff. Just amazing for me.
So piracy has not affected you as a band directly then, or?
Excuse me?
Piracy has not affected you as a band directly, or?
I have to say that this is not our job. As long as it would be my job, and if I would have to live on the stuff we sell, then it would be a totally different situation for me. But I have my normal job, I get the money from work, and so I'm not depending on 200 or 300 sold CDs. So for me, the message is most important, and the more people that can get the message, the better it is for me personally. Of course, it's not nice that people do this piracy and put it on a pirate page before you release the CD. I don't like to have comments on our MySpace site or on the homepage that say, well, you did a great job on the new CD, and you look at the date and you say, well, it's coming in 3 weeks, guys. Where did you get it from? Yeah, there is a Russian site and I downloaded it from Russia. Oh, great. That's something I hate, but I don't have a problem if a guy just has not the money to buy the CD and says, well, I badly want to listen to the music, then I would also send him one if I would have the money to send it, but so he can download it, then it's perfect.
So going a little bit more to the music, how does the songwriting process happen in the band?
Since the last CD, it's pretty relaxed, because Sebastian, our main guitar player, has his own studio now, so he records almost all the stuff. He sometimes also does the drums on computer and sends the song to us and says, well, what do you guys want to change, or do you want to add something special? And then Sebastian, Tobias, the drummer, and the two other guitar players are composing the song till it's end, and when the song is finished, they send it to me and I do the lyrics. Because for me, I'm not the one that can write lyrics just out of his head or something. I need to have the music, and then I feel the atmosphere it creates, and all the things I think about when I listen to the music, and then the lyrics are...
Okay. So how about in your live performances? What do you guys do after you're done? How do you... Well, I mean, some bands celebrate by drinking and whatever. With your ideology and everything, what is for you your highlight of the day after a good performance?
Well, just hanging out and making party like everyone else, but just instead of normal beer, we take alcohol-free beer.
Oh, okay.
But it's working fine, too.
You get the same psychological effect from it?
Yeah, the butterfly effect.
So is there anything else you guys want to add to the American audience? That...
Well, we badly would love to come to the U.S. audience and to see those guys. That there are so many people that write us over for more than 4 years or 5 years, come to the U.S. And we always say, well, yeah, we want to and we badly try to, but it was always hard to manage it. And then there was always some other offer and we had to take this offer because somehow it's a risk too to do a little tour, because in the beginning you only get offered little tours, and then you have to fly over to America to rent your own bus or something and to start touring all these small venues. And well, we have to do this one time, this is for sure, but we just wanted to get a little bit bigger and to reach a wider audience in America, not to do the first tour and only have 20 people coming or something like this. Because I talked to lots of other German bands and they said, well, it was a great time there, but the audience was not as big because there are so many bands in America and it's so packed with this styles and this kind of music. And when you reach a bad date and you have a bad tour management or something, and you tour cities on the same date, there are three other concerts or something. This happens so often to us. And when you are on a big tour and this happens for 20 shows or something, this is just disappointing. So we wanted to build up a bigger fan base, and I guess now it's time to check it out what happened there.
Okay. So just one thing that I forgot to ask. So how do you see, or what's your idea of Denlock in 5 years, let's say? What do you guys want to accomplish and do?
Well, I think being definitely the number one on Life Force, or making the step to another huge label, and just continue where we are now, playing maybe some of the huge festivals in America, some of the huge festivals in Japan. We sold amazing in Japan. It was really unbelievable for us with Manifesto, and just become more well known in the metal scene, in the pop scene, wherever the people like music with message, and just playing like we are and just having fun on stage, not doing it as a business or not just seeing it at a shop or something. Having fun with every show and just feeling free to do whatever we want to.
Is there anything you want to add?
What?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.